Trip on this feels like it's July Sunday morning. We've got communion today. Deacons are going to meet during fellowship hour. This is our week at the Ministerial Alliance Soup Kitchen, and the sign-up sheet was a little sparse on Thursday. So if you have the ability to show up this week between 9 and noon at the Ministerial Alliance, please check the sign-up sheet there in the fellowship hall and sign up so that we can make sure that gets done. Prayer group Tuesday, book study class on Wednesday. Our class last Wednesday was on chapter 5, which was about marriage, but it was 80% male. So we think we're going to review the chapter because we think with our normal gender balance, we may have a different conversation for some reason. So we'll be in chapter 5 again this week. Session is not meeting this month. Choir practice Wednesday night. Please, this is tech week for Granger, so if you're not going to make it, please call Tom so that it can get called off if it's going to be Tom and Mary, because that's not a very productive choir rehearsal time. Presbyterian men at IHOP on Saturday, those sorts of things. We have some other announcements. I'm sure please do sign and pass the friendship pads down the rows and let us know you're here. What else have I missed in the short future? Jeff?
I just want to thank everyone who came out this weekend to see and enjoy Choices. I'm very proud to announce that over the course of the night, we raised $1,400. So the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance Fund will receive $700 for their ongoing work in Tennessee, and the Halo Trust will receive $700 to hopefully help create a landmine-free world by the year 2025.
See, Tom's got an announcement.
While I'm headed over here, I'd like to say that I hope to clean out the Ken King house this week, and so maybe we'll send a notice out by email if there's a specific day when we could use some extra hands.
You know, in a little bit more than a month, actually, we're going to be experiencing one of the great spectacles of this creation. And we have an eclipse, total eclipse coming through the area, which is rare because I don't remember a total eclipse going through one for about 60 years. So that's right. And that was, I was living in Chicago when that one came through. But anyway, make sure that you are prepared for it if you want to view this. Make sure that you get some glasses like this. They're cheapo things, but if you don't have them, you don't want to look up at the sun when the moon is partially covering it and says, oh, well, I can look up there because it's not as bright. It'll still burn your eyes. So you need one of these. You can actually look at the sun right now and not hurt your eyes. So that's what you need them for. Eclipse.org is eclipse2017.org is their website. I've got a few extra pairs, you know, that I'll be willing to. Yeah, and there's a lot of places selling them too. A lot of stores
Ben
are selling
Fairbank,
them.
Marion Eye Center, a bunch.
Yeah. So you can get, make sure that you do that. I'll remind you before this happens again. We had thought about having some kind of a get together here at the church, but the session voted and discussed it and decided that we didn't want to because all of the other things that are going on at this time, that there would be nobody here anyway. So, but you are welcome to come out here with our big field that we have with no trees. And come out here in the field and view it without having to watch the trees. It's a better shot at down at Dan's, but he's got to go out on the boat to see it good because he's got too many trees. So I'm just going to stand on my back out on my deck and watch it from there. Yeah.
All right. Granger's got one.
Wade mentioned that it is tech week for me. It is. Those of you who know me well know that when I'm in tech, I will be running around like a crazy person. So if you need me, please text me. But know that I may not get back to you as quickly as I sometimes do, because things are a little nuts. But this coming Friday and Saturday are your good man Charlie Brown at Wren Lake College. It is the cast is six of my high school students, and then we've got a small orchestra that is playing. It is a wonderful, completely family-friendly show. Kids love it. Adults love it. It's a great show. And all profits from ticket sales will be donated to Arts Midwest, which is a recipient of the National Endowment for the Arts. But since you can't donate directly to the National Endowment, you donate to the regional affiliates that are recipients of it. And so that's our plan for that. So please come out. I do still have some posters if anybody else wants to put posters up this week. That would be lovely.
Any other announcements? Let's worship God.
Good morning. We want to welcome all our visitors, known and unknown. Let's join together in our call to worship. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens, out of the mouths of babes and infants. You have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals that you care for them? O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen. Let's join together in our hymn of praise, number 409. God is here. We know that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Let us in freedom confess the wrong that we have done. Let's join together in our prayer of confession. We confess, O God, that you are alone not what we worship and serve. We worship other gods. We give our prayers and our praise to other things. We worship in other than spirit and truth. O Lord, your prayer. Accept the praise we offer. Accept our gifts of humbled spirits and contrite hearts. And forgive us our sins. Lead us that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
Not have a minute for mission today, so we're going to go to what I'm sure as you all know well, Haggai, the book of the prophet Haggai. Just rolls off the tongue, right? We are in the very, very beginning of Haggai, the first chapter, the first 8 verses. In the second year of King Darius, in the 6th month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai, saying, is it time for you yourselves to live in paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider how you have fared. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And you that earn wages to put them in a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider how you have fared. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The kids want to join me down front. Madeline, can you bring me a handheld? We're gonna do a field trip again today. Field trips are fun. You can stay standing up. We're going to move around here in just a minute. In seminary, there was this question that a professor asked me. And it was, if you came to worship and they didn't do part of the service, which piece would make it feel like you hadn't been to church? So if we dropped one thing from worship, what is it that you don't want to drop from worship? The sermon. I like this child. What?
Time with the younger church.
Oh, this part of the service. You like this?
The Bible passages.
The Bible passages. Peregrine, you have one? Silas? Should we go ask Miss Sophie? Do you have one? She likes the music. Should we go ask people what it is for them? For me, it's the confessional sequence. If we don't do the call to confession, the prayer of confession, the assurance of pardon, something's just not there. Should we go ask people? Who should we go ask? We have some ringers out there today. Emily. We should go ask Emily. Okay, Emily, if we dropped one part of the service, what would make it feel, which one?
I think the music is one of the most important parts.
The music. Any piece in particular, the hymns, the anthem?
Probably the hymns.
The hymns. Okay, where else are we going? Tell me so I know where we're going. Who else are we going to ask?
Grandpa.
Grandpa, okay. We can go ask Grandpa. Okay, John.
The charge and benediction, the last part of the service.
Is that because it's over then?
That's over.
Who else do we need to go ask?
Lanita.
Lanita. Okay, we're going to trundle all the way across the sanctuary. They like to make me walk. It's kind of like they laugh when they make Dan walk during. Okay, Lanita, which part?
The Lord's Prayer.
The Lord's Prayer. Okay. Where else are we going? Who else are we talking to?
Mr. Tim?
You know, if you want to be a child, you can just walk with us, Laurel. Let's go ask Mr. Tim.
Getting half the choir would go.
I know. That's okay. He's right back here. Come on. All right, Tim.
Well, as Wade said, the assurance of pardon, especially. I would miss that.
Okay. Where else are we going? Should we ask Reverend Rachel right here? We could ask Reverend Dan over here. Who do you want to ask? You guys are awfully shy all of a sudden. This is not normal.
Dan Seelock?
Oh, we want to go to Dan Seelock in the back row.
The Ministry of Music.
Okay. Where else are we going? Somebody tell me where we're going. Are we done? You want to ask Tom?
Prayers of the people.
Prayers of the people. Miss Jean. Miss
Jean.
Well, that's okay.
The prayers of the people and the fellowship of my fellow Christians.
Mm-hmm. We're missing one thing. Well, we're not taking volunteers. Where else are we going? Benjamin? We're going to Benjamin. You better come up with something good. Two preachers' kids and two preachers already this morning.
The moment of silent confession.
Moment of silent confession. Is there anybody else we need to go ask?
Miss Susie.
Miss Susie.
Well, we can't forgive the presenting of the tithes and offerings.
I was thinking Gene might come up with that one. I think we've covered all of it now, haven't we? Except for?
Communion and baptism.
Communion and baptism. Right? So what can we get rid of from worship? Okay. So let's think about that, okay? I want you to pay attention, particularly to the rest of worship, but think about, particularly next Sunday when we go through the start of worship, what people have said they like and why, and maybe pay a little more attention to it than we normally do. You guys pray with me? God, you call us to worship. You call us to worship you. Help us to see that we do that in so many ways. We each do it differently. Help us help one another worship you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now we need to get our hymnals out. I believe we're singing number 453, Open Your Ears, O Faithful People. You may be seated. We're going to jump forward into John's Gospel, the fourth chapter. We're going to jump midstream into a story. This is the story of Jesus and the woman of Samaria who is at Jacob's well. The woman said to Jesus, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We are on our third of the six great ends. It's this banner over here, on the all the way towards the front of the church. It is the maintenance of divine worship. The banner has all sorts of things going on. There's the dove for the spirit. There's the three drops of water for baptism. There's the cup for communion. There's the hands lifted in praise and thanksgiving. And again, I had problems finding scripture verses, because most of them talk about this stuff. Haggai is fascinating because it's actually a reverse of an earlier narrative. You remember David? Any of you remember David? David wants to build the temple, right? You remember that part of the story? I mean, it's not quite as scandalous as the other parts of the David story. There's no slingshots. There's no giants. There's no married women. David wants to build the temple, and God says no. When we get to Haggai, the people have moved back into their very comfortable houses. Paneled houses is a reference for very comfortable houses. And they don't really seem interested in building God's house. So God says, no, actually, it's time. It's beyond time. You're late. Build me a house. Because in case you haven't noticed, you're not getting quite what you should be getting out of life. You're sowing much and you're harvesting little. The great graphic description of those of you who earn wages, put your wages in a bag with holes. Now, I know nobody here would ever put their own comfort ahead of what God is calling us to do in the world. I know that just never happens anymore. Does it? And then we jump forward to John's Gospel and we get this great long encounter with the woman at the well. And this is the part that the Revised Common Lectionary usually cuts out of it. But this is the part where they're talking about who Jesus is and what it means to be faithful. And they're having an old Samaritan and Hebrew argument about, well, you say we have to do it over there, and we say we can do it over here. It's kind of like our arguments about sprinkling and dunking. And Jesus says, where is less important than how. One day, people will worship God in spirit and truth. One day, God will seek people who are going to worship God like that. And then she says, well, sure, somebody's going to come tell us this stuff later. And Jesus goes, it's me. And that brings us to the maintenance of divine worship. How many of you are big fans of maintenance? There has to be one in every crowd. Right? How many of you loved mowing the grass yesterday? Ron Campbell, where are you? Ron was not a big fan of mowing the grass yesterday, and even a lesser fan of his lawnmower yesterday. Maintenance, right, that doesn't have any of the flash of stuff. It's oil changes every 5,000 miles. That's the new recommendation. It's keeping track of when you did things so you know when it's time to do them again. It's putting a new roof on the building. It's changing where the water drains. That's not really that exciting, is it? But you kind of got to do it, right? What happens if we don't do maintenance? What? Problems. You have to fix it again later. Do you lose often the use of what you were supposed to have? What happens if you don't maintain your vehicle? It dies. Is it always possible to replace it? She says it like it's that simple. You have to get more money, but... Right? Think about what that means when we say one of the great ends of the church is the maintenance of divine worship, is to make sure it happens, and it happens regularly, and it's ongoing, and it's in good shape and good condition, that it still does what it's supposed to do. Right? Now, the latter two words are what it's supposed to do. If you've ever come up on Good Shepherd when the sign is working on both sides, it specifically announces the hours for divine worship. Because we worship other things too, don't we? I heard the best description of the 4th of July this last week. It was as though Johnson City had declared war on white ash. It's loud. It's noisy. Somehow we try to slide patriotic in there. ER visits are usually up, right, Lenita? Great irony of our day is we set those things off as patriotic stuff, and many of our veterans, it drives under the beds and to in very bad places. We're not going to think about that. We're busy being patriotic and blowing things up. When we say divine worship, that reminds us who we are supposed to be worshiping. In Sunday school this morning, the scripture passage was Isaiah 6, the call of Isaiah. Now, we get all the way into chapter 6 before we get the call, and there's stories about why that's so. But Isaiah gets a vision, and God is sitting on the throne, and the throne and God are so big that the room can only hold the trailings of God's cloak. And Isaiah has, to me, one of the best lines in the Bible. God is there, angels are singing, Isaiah is suitably impressed and terrified, and says, "Woe to me, I am a man of unclean lips, and I come from a people of unclean lips." How much translation does that take to today? How many of us could say the same thing? Woe to me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I am in the presence of the Lord. Holy cow. That's divine. That's the sensation that is supposed to bring about. When we talk about divine worship, it's not supposed to be something we sleep through. It is supposed to be something that has our full and undivided attention. partly because it scares us, and partly because it speaks to what we hope about on our most deep level. Isaiah is a prophet in the days after the nations have fallen. The northern kingdom has fallen, the southern kingdom has fallen. What does it mean to see God on a throne when your kingdom has been taken over? That doesn't mean we don't worship other things. The challenge is, what do we worship in here when supposedly we're worshiping God? Because there's this huge temptation and danger to worship the building, the music, the pastor, whoever's got the microphone at the moment, the country, the bottom line, the prestige in the community, the way things used to be, the good old days. The chapter in the Sunday school book closes us out by reminding us that we worship a God who seems to constantly be turning things upside down. Divine, right? That's what our eyes are supposed to be focused on, is the divine, the supernatural, the miraculous, the otherworldly, the thing that is not us. And when I say the thing that is not us, I mean the thing that does not have unclean lips from a people of unclean lips, right? I mean the thing that is not broken. The thing that is not wounded. Right? It's more than just, oh wow, he can turn water into wine, that we talk about. That brings us to our last word in this little teeny tiny line of significance. Worship. What's worship? An hour and 15 minutes on Sunday morning. An hour and 30 when we have communion, right? Is that worship? I mean, that's what we call this. Is that what worship really is? What do we do in worship? What do we do in this hour and 15 minutes? Praise. What else do we do? Thanks. What else do we do? Pray? Open. How about help? Right? What else?
Join together.
What else do we do? What?
Think.
So how many of those things are only things we can do from 10:30 to 11:45 on Sunday morning? Does that mean we could, like, think on Tuesday? And say, help God, on a Thursday afternoon? Or give thanks just because it's Friday? So isn't worship really about what we're doing and where we're directing it rather than the place and the time slot? How many of you have ever been on a diet? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. That's just mean. How many of you have ever been members at a gym? How many of you have ever found out that after the second day off of either the gym or the diet, the third day just doesn't seem to go back on? That's the maintenance piece. That's about being constantly about worshiping the divine. Because as soon as we slip, you know why pastors like vacation, right? It's because we don't actually have to get up on Sunday morning. We also know that when you guys don't get up on Sunday morning, often you don't do it for a long time on Sunday morning. Maintenance of divine worship is that this takes work to do this, to keep our eyes on the empty tomb and the cross, on the hill and the font and the table and the light instead of our watches, because you have gone long already. Instead of, on what else do we keep our eyes? This takes work. And it takes more than a preacher and more than a choir. And it takes more than a building at 1200 South Carbon. This takes the full attention of the people of God to fill candles and set tables, to fold bulletins, and to pray and praise and give thanks and cry out for help and give our gifts and tell the story. The maintenance of divine worship, yes, that can become a 25-minute sermon in a heartbeat, because it's one, if not the most important thing we do, it's one of the most important things we do as the body of Christ. Keep at it. Keep your eyes focused on where they're supposed to be. And remember, it's far more than an hour and 15 minutes in a building on a Sunday. And to God alone be the glory, this day and forevermore. Amen. Our affirmation today is drawn from Belonging to God, which is our children's catechism. So I'll ask the questions, and this time I've provided you with the answers. What else does the Holy Spirit do for the church? The Spirit gathers us to worship God, builds us up in faith, hope, and love, and sends us into the world to proclaim the gospel and to work for justice and peace. Why do Christians gather for worship on the first day of the week? Because it is the day when God raised our Lord Jesus from the dead. When we gather weekly on that day, the Spirit makes our hearts glad with the memory of our Lord's resurrection. What do we do in Christian worship? We adore and praise God. We pray, sing hymns, and listen to readings from the Bible. We also give offerings to God for the work of the church and commit ourselves to serve God and our neighbors. Above all, we hear the preaching of the gospel and celebrate the sacraments. Friends, let us respond to all that God is doing by giving of our tithes and our talents, our hopes and our dreams, our offerings and our joys. If the ushers will come forward, let us receive our morning offering. You may be seated. Friends, as we bring our tithes and offerings to God, we also bring the fruits of our lives, our hopes, our dreams, our joys, our fears, and our doubts. The prayer sheet is the kind of cream-colored sheet in your bulletin today. And the messengers class is praying that Catherine feels better soon, that Minuet can find a home, that Mr. Ken and Miss Betty are happy in heaven. Thankful that we're back here, says Peregrine. And our favorite Bible stories today are Jesus' birth, and the shepherds, and the wise men, and the trip to Egypt, Joshua and Jericho, Moses parting the Red Sea, and manna from heaven. Friends, what else do we need to keep in prayer this day? Go ahead, Mary.
Our continued prayers for C.J. Rubright.
Prayers for the family of my sister Phyllis, all of us who passed about a week ago now, particularly for her husband Ted, her daughter Katie, and her son Peter, and also for all of her family. And thank you for your prayers and cards and condolences.
Go ahead, Joy.
Yes, I'd like to have prayer for this. The organization, the Center for the Elderly Blind in Carbondale and Ramada Drive, have lost their funding, and they serve 142 people in southern Illinois. And so prayers that funding will be reestablished for those people.
Prayers for a good friend of ours from Tennessee, Tommy Claxton, who had a heart attack last Sunday, had to have two valves replaced and a hole sewn up in his heart, and it could have been there from birth, and some muscle, excess hard muscle cut off on his heart. And I heard that he is doing okay. The surgery was successful, and just prayers for his continued recovery.
I see Tim, I see Granger, I see Juanita. This half is being quiet.
Prayers for my friend Jessica Hawkins. This will be her last week working at the hospital she's working at now, and then she's looking into new adventures. And also for Talia Whittington, she is getting ready to have her son. She and her husband are getting ready to have their son at the end of this week, so lots of prayers for them.
As you already know, like I said, our show is this coming weekend, and I would ask prayers for this whole venture. This is always a crazy week, but a really important time, and this show has been a really fun experience to do because these are all kids that I'm very, very close to, and so getting to do a small cast show with this group has been great. But I would ask specific prayers for one of my students who's in this production, who really struggled with some family issues this week and also had a migraine on top of it that would not go away. So prayers for him as he recovers and gets ready for a long week.
Tim was next.
Prayer of Thanksgiving for my daughter, Dina. She got a good report this week, so we're really thankful for that. And then also my daughter, Alicia, needs just some prayers as she attempts to move a little closer to DuQuoin as she starts teaching in DuQuoin this year.
Do we have other joys or concerns this morning? Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for this day. We come together in worship to come to the table, to be reminded at the font, to hear the stories, to scream help, to say thank you, and to be awed. We come this day with everything on our hearts and on our minds, looking out at the world, looking in at our families, looking at our community, and wondering what's coming next, what will come now, how will it go from here? God, our prayers ask you to walk with us into what is coming next, into a year in Illinois with a budget, into hospital rooms, into how houses and homes and neighborhoods, into schools, into lives. God, we pray for you to hear our prayers. And we pray for you to be you, to be the God we refer to as the Good Shepherd and the Great Physician and the lover of our souls. And that in walking with us, you will bring your kingdom about. We pray all this in the name of Christ, who is the Lord. Amen. Friends, we do celebrate the sacraments in worship. We are reminded of that on this banner. And when we come to this table, we are reminded of much more than a line out of the Book of Order. We are reminded of a God who feeds God's people in the desert. We are reminded of a God who makes a way when there is no way. And we are reminded of a God who wants to sit at table with us. And so we come to a table that is set and a feast that is prepared and ready. We come to a place not as strangers, not really even as guests, but as the family of God, as the beloved children of God. Friends, this is Christ's table. We don't own it. We don't control it. We don't set it. We don't fence it. This is Christ's table. To all whom Christ is calling, it is welcome. It is open. You are welcome here. Friends, will you pray with me? And we gather at this table, set in such a simple way, and yet it is set to remind us. It is set to remind us that you have walked with us, that you have provided for our needs, that you have seen us through. Even when we weren't satisfied with what you have provided us, you have seen us through. When we were troublesome and quarrelsome people in the wilderness, you saw us through. The waters were parted. Manna came down from heaven. Water flowed from the rock. And your people were led from slavery into freedom. When Christ was teaching, crowds came out. And the disciples wanted everybody to go home so they could have dinner. And you turned the table on them and said, "You feed them." You told us to feed them. And we, as we often do, say we didn't have enough. But 5 loaves and 2 fish had 12 baskets of leftovers. And so you remind us of your abundance once more. And then that night in that upper room, as you gathered in that season to tell of how God saves God's people, you gathered with a tax collector and a betrayer and a doubter and a denier. And they were welcome at this table with you to celebrate the mighty, wonderful, and amazing deeds of God. God, this day we ask you to remind us of all those stories and to send your Spirit upon these gifts of bread and cup that they might become for us the body and blood of Christ, and that we might know we are your beloved people. We pray this in the name of the one who sets this table, and we pray as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, we know that it was on that night when Jesus was gathered with his disciples in the upper room, and he took the bread, and having blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the meal, he took the cup, having poured it out, having blessed it, he poured it out and said, "This cup represents the new covenant, which is sealed in my blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. All of you drink of it. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's saving death until he comes." Friends, the table is set. The feast is ready. All that is missing are the people of God. Friends, we'll be receiving by intinction today. I invite you to come down this aisle and tear off a piece of bread and dip it in the cup. We do have gluten-free and cups for those who would prefer not to take by intinction as well. Friends, come and be fed at Christ's table. If you cannot come forward, we will come to you. Friends, will you pray with me? Great God of abundance, you have given us so much. We are fed at a table with just bread and cup. We are washed clean with just water. We are called by our names, and we are sent out to be your servants, having been given everything we need to proclaim the good news in Jesus Christ. We give thanks that as you send us out, you do not send us out alone, but that you go with us, and you guide us, and you comfort us, and you lead us, and you walk with us. In that day and in that hope, we pray to you, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, our closing hymn today is number 412, God, Reveal Your Presence.